As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I went to this bar and everyone knew you. I went to this bar and they all said, you're a regular. I asked to speak to the manager when I walked in here and they pointed to you. I went here and they said that you're the president. They said that no one ran against you because they didn't stand a chance. I went here and they said you and your whole family were the inspiration. I talked to the bartender and they said they couldn't do it without you.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. I almost didn't even look at you, Tass. I looked
What's
right
up?
Past you at that gorgeous YouTube plaque. 100,000 subs. We got it. We cracked it, and it's already hanging on the wall. We're gonna task
it.
A real good look at it. Thank you.
Well,
everybody.
I'm just surprised that it's still up on the wall because we put it up a mere 23 hours ago. I shoved that double tape onto the wall. Very worried that it was gonna fall down.
It didn't.
No, it didn't.
It's Made lighter it than night. It looks.
Yeah, it's light, but it does have a little bit of weight. You know, when you get something in the mail, you think, "Oh, this cheap thing."
Well,
might happen,
it was,
but it's not. It's got a little girth.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be real silver.
That's not 95 sterling?
No, I don't think so. Mm. But it's okay. We're proud of it.
Yep.
It's up. See you later, Moose.
See you later, Moose.
Damn, there's a...
See
you, Moose.
Greg Monroe.
Thank you to everybody joining us live on YouTube.
I gotta go, by the way.
Got this. What's going on with you?
I
gotta
clean these fingerprints.
No, don't touch it.
I thought I didn't touch it. I cleaned it. I used my shirt yesterday. Yeah, I'm gonna pull this one up. I thought I cleaned it.
It's okay.
Look at that smear.
Oh, no.
I would need a bagel because that's a nice smear right there.
Hit the like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Let's get to, I guess a million is next. You get the gold one. Wonder if it's real gold.
That sucks. It's a long wait, man.
We got a long way
to go.
Can't
get something for 500K? Not good enough?
Slowly but surely, okay. We'll get to a million. Podcast listeners, we love you too. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. We do appreciate it. Share the show, everybody. Okay, on today's show, we will be getting into the up-down report. Got some fun topics within that. And we got a very, very random tweet of the night. I think you'll enjoy it. You may want to jump over to YouTube for that tweet of the night. But let's start with the games last night. Only two on, and we had the Miami Heat hitting a franchise playoff record 23 three-pointers to beat Boston and even series at one game apiece, and blowing up Tass's overreaction after game one, saying the Celtics are going to run the gauntlet there in the Eastern Conference. So
right.
That's a wrap as well, but what a performance here. From Miami, everybody getting in on the fun in terms of shooting the three ball. I thought Bam had a great game, but your thoughts?
Well, I was watching this on playback with friends, and at half I thought, all right, these Celtics should take care of it in the third quarter. It was the third quarter that the Heat stepped up and really punched the Celtics in the mouth. And I know we're all going to talk about threes from the Miami Heat, but really where they won this was stopping the Celtics three balls by switching everything. Their switch in games two from game one was to switch on absolutely everything and not feel like the Celtics shouldn't feel like they're open every time they get a three ball. Those guys were ready for every three ball shot, and that's why the Celtics weren't able to hit as many. You watch that third quarter and Jason Tatum just went absolutely quiet. He started the game off extremely great with 14 points in that first quarter, and then he took one shot in the third quarter for the first 7 minutes run while the Heat were just guarding everybody. And that's where it changed. I know we could talk all about the threes and all that, but really, from the fours, the guys that stepped outside of Bam Adebayo, who had a monstrous game, that was fantastic. The four guys stepping out on the perimeter, allowing Bam to do his thing. That was a huge punch in the mouth. I can't wait for game three because, you know, the Miami Heat are allowed to win a game and the Celtics are allowed to win to lose a game, I should say. So I don't know how they respond. Is this Celtics team got it? Because they didn't. Coming out of that locker room in half, they did not respond well at all. That was surprising to me. Obviously, Spoelstra's team is going to come out and play, but Mazzulla's did not.
Only 40 points in the second half for Boston, and they kind of got tricked, I think, in this one. Only 32 three-point attempts. I've been critical, saying they take too many threes, but the process in this one was not right. The Heat were switching everything, like you said, and they were just enticing into the Celtics into taking these one-on-one matchups, and that's where you were hoping Porzingis would be able to come through. Everybody said he was going to be the difference literally playing against this Miami Heat team because they're going to switch. He's going to have smalls on him, just shoot over the top, and that's what he was doing. But he went 1-for-9 from the field, finished a minus 32 on the night. Seems almost impossible to me. He just could not punish these one-on-one matchups, and it was like Hakez, who's strong at least, Jovic, he has some height to him, but you got to be able to score on Tyler Hero in the post. Yeah. You should be able to score on DeLon Wright in the post as well, but Miami did a really good job of staying in his airspace. Sometimes they would swarm him and just make him look uncomfortable. And then Jrue Holiday was basically the exact same player, 4-for-12 from the field. And he looked completely unconfident playing against small guys as well in the post. They were trying. That's what you're supposed to do. They switch. We got an advantageous matchup down low. Throw it in there. Let him go to work. These two guys who were supposed to be big time in the playoffs for the Celtics in their first real game, they came up short. So does it change going forward? Maybe. I mean, is one team going to hit 20-plus threes in every one of these games? It's possible. That's the NBA these days, and that's how both of these teams play. But I thought a great game plan from Spo to basically trick the Celtics into not playing their style of basketball.
Yeah, and the Heat were very open about their game plan after game one. Like, over these last couple days, Spo was saying, we got to get up a lot more threes. We obviously got to sort of shrink the gap between that wild game one three-point differential. And the Celtics knew that was going to be their game plan, and they were still comfortable letting them freely step into open shots. I went back and watched every single three-pointer because I was like, man, they must have touched paint on so many of these. They actually didn't. There was Bam setting big-ass screens and just creating enough room and then not guys fighting really from Boston and guests being comfortable with Caleb Martin or Hakez or Duncan Robinson, who was the one that actually shot poorly from distance amazingly for the Heat. It wasn't like, I think it was 7 of their 23 three-pointers were where they touched paint and then it kicked out. That's fine. They started like that. But a lot of them were just perimeter-based pick. Then the guy would then swing to another guy because a lot of like sort of help would shade and they were sort of caught in no man's land and they just caught. They were just on fire. It just became contagious from Miami. Yeah, will they do this again? 23 is a hell of a lot of three-pointers? Probably not, but
I think they do it all the time against Boston. Cooper Moore had the stat going around last night. Miami has 4 playoff games in the past 2 postseasons with 50% shooting from 3 only against Boston. No other team has more than 1 against anybody. So could it happen? Yeah, but I'm kind of with you. Boston was letting Jovic shoot. They were letting Highsmith shoot. They were letting Hakez shoot. And those guys went 9-for-15. You're going to lose those games when you're doing it. But I also thought Bam was awesome in this one. I thought Tyler Hero was great. No Jimmy Butler. Somebody's got to do something in the middle of the floor. And it was either a pick and roll with those guys or a dribble handoff with those guys. The help would come because the Celtics were okay letting these other role players shoot. Easy passes for Hero. 14 assists. A career high for him last night. And if you're going to leave shooters open, sometimes they're going to make it. That's what happened to the Celtics here. And then Bam, you got to give him so much credit. He was awesome in the fourth quarter. Basically, all of their two-pointers came from Bam hitting tough middies in the fourth quarter. The Heat last night went 5-of-8 in the restricted area. They took 8 shots at the rim, made 5 of them. They only made 8 shots in the paint period. This was a shooting loss for the Celtics. Like, it's a make or miss league, and the Heat made a ton of them. 13 for 28 in the lane, and they still win easily.
Obviously, Hero was awesome at passing the ball, as Spoelstra said after the game. That was your best passing game, your best distribution game in the history that I've played with you, or I've coached you. Because he was awesome, and he was willing to pass. And those other guys, they had the cojones not to just shoot, but just to step in and be stronger, be tougher defensively. And Hero was tough defensively. Mentioned him guarding Porzingis, and he was throwing every single pound that he had, every single sweat that he had in that monstrous headband. It's almost a do-rag. It's a visor. It's so big. And he played big. He really did. Kristaps Porzingis, he really just took one shot in the lane throughout this game. And he obviously should be able to pound some guys a little bit more. I mean, his only one make was just a putback of a Jason Tatum miss. Mm-hmm. So it was surprising not to see him in the lane. And just all these guys, obviously, they had the ability, they had the belief that they could win in this game. And that's all Spoelstra. That's all this team coming out of that locker room thinking they could do it. So they're all just letting it rip. And at the beginning, the Celtics were contesting a lot of those shots. And they contested Jovic, who let it rip himself at the beginning and hit shots. So those guys obviously just stepped into it. But they believed. And, you know, I believed after game one. Me and Bill Simmons also said they were going to go 12-0 in the first 12 games. Obviously, the Miami Heat were the team that were going to do this first. I can't wait to see how they respond to this, because I bought the words of a player. Kristaps Porzingis said after, "We set the stage for the rest of our path." Okay, so that's going to be really good. That is going to be really good. They're going to defend and they're going to scrap. And then Tatum after this game said, "It's never going to go exactly as people," like Tass Mells. Oh, he didn't say that. "He's never going to go exactly as people expect it to go. And that's the beauty of it." Oh, so he's painting a beautiful picture. Game three. This is the movie we want, is what he's saying. Yeah, the adversity of it all. So I can't wait to see how that guy responds, because he is their leader. And as you said, they added Drew and Kristaps on purpose, for the purpose of being able to respond to things like this. Hopefully not to have moments like this, but to respond to it. And Tatum did not in the third quarter, when he was fairly quiet coming out of the locker room.
Well, this was the wild part from this game. Miami Heat hit like, I forget what it was at the half, but they hit a ton of threes and they were trailing. They were down somehow, and they were on fire from three. And it was like, well, that's not a good sign from them. You know, they can't miss from distance, and they're still somehow trailing. But
yeah, it was the defense,
really. It was the defense. It was a great game plan. That's exactly right. It was get Tatum and Brown into one-on-one play. Obviously, try and take away Porzingis. Like, just those even smaller guys, they were fighting their ass off. Like, he's trying to post them, and they're, like, scrambling just to get around him and get a poke here, and guys helping out. And he dribbles high. He's a tall-ass dude. You can dig down and sort of pop a ball out here or there. They just put in a lot of effort. That's a classic zombie Heat culture, whatever the hell we call it, a SPO coach team. They're not going to roll over and die, and now they've got some confidence. Heading back to Miami, we'll see. If the game plan is to hit 20-plus threes, good on you. I want to see what Mazzulla does.
That's the game plan.
Yeah. That's what they've been saying after game one. So why wasn't... I mean, I'm a little confused why... I guess Mazzulla and the team, because even Jalen Brown's like, no, there was a lot of shots we were comfortable with them taking. Okay. I get it. They're not probably going to hit that many. But you got to, like, what within the game, when they've hit a million, you would think you'd change your strategy a little bit. You change maybe even the personnel a little bit. You change it up. That's what Spo would do. That's what good coaches do. That's where Mazzulla, you're like, they're just going to like keep hoping, yeah, we'll bomb away. We'll get them. And maybe they were fooled that they were up still and at the half, and they thought, they're going to go cold here at some point. But luckily they had Bam, who I thought, you're right. Those mid-ranges, whoo, timely buckets.
That was the only time they were scoring twos.
Because that's when Derek White was on his, he sort of matched it with a little run of his own. And it was like a six-point game with like 3 minutes to go, but... Guess what? Miami Heat player hit another massive three. I think it was Caleb Martin sort of iced it.
I would be an ultimate Caleb Martin hater if I was a Boston Celtics fan. I was looking at his numbers between the playoffs last season and this regular season. He played 89 games. 11 of those came against the Celtics. In those 11 games, he's hit 32 three-pointers. A quarter of his threes have come against the Celtics in 11 games. Like, he had a bad regular season this year. He did hardly anything after being, I think he hit 49 threes in the playoffs last year. It took him like 6 months to get to 49 threes this year, but against the Celtics, this guy's an absolute killer.
Yeah, and that's why he closes games. He doesn't necessarily have to start and play a ton of minutes, but he's the guy out there at the end of games. He was out there to start, and he does some things. He's waiting around, but Jovic is going to sit in fourth quarters a lot of the times because Caleb Martin just... He's scrappy. He's
he just
fighting.
Loves playing the Celtics, he man. Does, yeah. He can't miss when he plays them. I love how quickly things change in the playoffs, though, and here's a perfect illustration. Ira Winderman obviously covers the Heat. Yesterday, 8 a.m., the headline of his article is, "Have the Celtics exposed the Heat's three-point limitations?" And by 10 p.m., same day, after the game, the headline reads, "Heat turned the long ball into a lifeline against the Celtics." This variance with three-point shooting, it's wild. It's only getting wilder and wilder. But for whatever reason, yeah, the Heat love to play in Boston, play against this team when it comes to shooting. I mean, this was an awesome... This was right. Spo had the right game plan, and defensively, I thought they sort of lulled the Celtics into that... What they've done before, that one-on-one... Like, Brown was awesome, you know? He was really good for a majority of this game.
Oh,
Tatum,
he was, yeah.
Tatum, not as much, but still, you're the boss, or you're not upset with it. It was these other guys going 6 of 17 because they're not over-helping from those shooters on Boston. They're like, hey, we'll live with maybe getting cooked once or twice here by Brown, by Tatum, in a isolation, but we can live with that. We're not going to leave these, your Housers and you know, all your other, your Porzingis, all your other shooters open. We're not going to do that. Smart game plan. Can't wait to see Game 3, Saturday, 6 p.m. in Miami.
Oh yeah, we got another double 4 day, huh? Yeah. Saturday, Sunday.
I also saw that.
Plus a 3 on Friday. The old 11 night.
There's a 11
game weekend, I should say. 5:30
p.m. Eastern start time?
There is.
In Indiana?
That's right.
On Friday.
That's right. 5:30, 8, 10:30. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can not miss a minute, basically.
I guess so. I guess
cool.
so.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Any other thoughts or fun takeaways, random moments from Game 2 here in Boston?
Yeah, I got a suggestion for the Mind the Game podcast.
Okay.
We've heard about the Gortat screen on there. We've heard about the Varejao screen on there. We need something on the KG screen, because that's what Bam Adebayo does all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's when you hold and move and just stay in front of a guy no matter what. It should be an offensive foul, but not in the playoffs.
That led
Bam is the master.
It led to so many of those threes.
Yeah.
So many of them.
Looks like a left tackle.
It really does.
The KG screen.
He sets it, and you're right, and then he sort of like, then he like pushes the guy where he wants to go. It's
gets really wide.
Yep. Just
keeps moving.
Yep. Doesn't grab them.
Should be a foul.
Yep.
Should absolutely go the other way.
Yeah. It doesn't. He doesn't grab them, but you're absolutely right. It's the moving, the pivoting of the guy, the defender, just completely blowing him out and taking him out of play. Yeah.
Absolutely. Before we started to allow defense this season, I thought that was the biggest worry of offense, is just moving screens that create more scores, because it happens. They just let it sort of roll.
Yeah. And as long as you don't stick out your ass or, you know, trip someone or obviously grab.
Or the other person flops. That can sell
true,
it. That can
true.
Definitely sell. We've
that's
seen
exactly
it
right.
plenty of times.
That's a good point.
We saw it in the women's Final Four. That's how you get calls. You just hit the floor. Another thing I thought, going back to calls that weren't made, oddly, Tyler Hero, he's on the left side of the floor, he's going towards the corner, got a pass, and starts just walking. He traveled. It was quite clear. And the referee was there. The referee, I say left side of the floor because the referee had a fantastic angle. And I can't get behind those. You know, we have seen in the past, like the 2008 Spain-USA game, where I think it was Dwayne Wade in the backcourt. He starts running with the basketball, which happens in today's NBA. You take a couple steps when you get the ball. Nobody calls anything in the NBA, but in FIBA, he got whistled.
Yeah, they call
Excuse
travel.
Me, that's a travel. And to see, I guess in the backcourt, it's fine. It's already happened in the postseason. If you watch every person's step in the backcourt, they're going to run with it. In the front court, I can't get behind him. I don't like it. He got away with the travel before hitting the three. He went to the corner and hit a three, which was nice. He was awesome.
Oh, he was incredible.
But steps. Too many steps.
Tyler Hero, 24 points, 14 assists. He had that beauty no look dime. I mean, it's a no look, and then you look away. And it sort of like made the defense go, is he going to the corner? And he threw that one into Bam there. It was a nice play. It was a good angle, too, when you got that baseline angle. It looked good.
Bo Estes called it a baby cut.
Yeah. From Bam. I did see that.
What?
He just stepped in a little thing there.
Two steps only. Yeah. Baby cut.
Great game from Tyler Hero. Great game from Bam. All these shooters. And now we have a 1-1 series with Eric Reed dropping kabooms left and right. The Miami Heat. There's okay. How many threes the Heat hit last night. They tweeted, I saw either last night or this morning, if you want to spend some time rewatching all of our threes from tonight, we won't judge. The clip is over 3.5 minutes long because it's a whole lot of threes, and it's Eric Reed saying kaboom every single time. There's so many kabooms. So go check that out if you want. Miami Heat social team chucking that up last night.
I'm just looking at the Celtics and what they were doing at home because everybody was saying this is the first time the Celtics have been down 10 at home in months, literally since February 1st. They're 37-4 at home in the regular season until Wednesday, until that game. So is it a good thing? You can definitely say, like Skeets, you like to say, you want to see a team have some adversity in the first round, and that bodes well for the second round and
for
the
championship
third round.
Contenders, yeah. I like instead of the cakewalk. Yeah. Where you get a really crappy team and it's like too easy. I think it's beneficial if you get maybe tested, maybe a loss, maybe a wake-up call, whatever you want to call it.
We could be saying that about this Celtics team.
Or we could be saying the Heat beat them again.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Unlikely, but.
Who's saying that the Heat are going to win four?
Do you think this is over in five, or do you think it's more likely this is a much longer series? So I'll ask you that. Now it's down to a best of five.
I think the Celtics respond in game three big time. Because they freaking have to. Because they've seen this movie before with the Miami Heat. A TBD. You know, I made a dumb prediction after game one, which was supposed to be a bold prediction. So I won't make one now. Do you guys think the Miami Heat can possibly beat the Boston Celtics? I think that's what it comes down
to. Yes, they can beat them one more time.
One more time. I think they split. Yeah. You think maybe we have a best of three series in the end? Is that possible?
Yeah, sure. I think it's 2-2. Coming home 2-2.
Okay. Well, they're feeling the confidence. I mean, they obviously, without their star guy and Jimmy, without even Terry Rozier, who should return, I think, in this series, the longer it goes, the more likely he does from the neck spasms. It's similar to last year with the Heat. It's just like, it's us against the world, man. Nobody believes in us. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, again? And they're like, yeah, again.
Again. We beat the Bulls in the playoff, playing again. That's great. The exact same thing. Yeah. Man, some insane hats on the Miami Heat, huh? Terry Rozier's hat was wild, and then Bam and Tyler Hero. Bam showed up in the stocking hat, popped up on the top of his head, and Hero was in a Gilligan's Island bucket hat.
He loves those bucket hats.
He loves a bucket hat. Big headwear team.
Yeah, I guess they are.
The stocking hat. I didn't see it. Can't wait to see it.
Well, look it up. And while you do, let's move over.
Oh, I like it.
To the second game. Okay. Is it like a toque? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's toque style.
Toque. Okay, yeah, toque style.
Old ski hat.
Pom-pom.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, we had SGA 33 points leading the Thunder past the Pelicans, 124-92. OKC takes the 2-0 lead. It was the ass kicking some of us saw coming.
Hey, yeah, you predicted this.
Yeah,
you did.
Look, they were, you know, again, that was the game one jitters. There's no doubt. And Pelicans are a good team, but they're not that great without Zion Williamson, and definitely not without Brandon Ingram.
Is he playing?
Hobbled. Well, yeah, ooh, he is, yeah. But he's in the torture chamber, man. Lou Dort is all over that guy.
Yeah.
He's in his shorts. It's uncomfortable.
Dort shorts.
The Dort shorts, yeah. But yeah, I just expected a much better, sort of freer, more fast-paced, looser game here from OKC, hence why I thought maybe they would run up the score and have a big win, and they did. But SGA with 33, Chet with 26-7, and then J-Dub with 21. That's their big three. Hilarious start to this game, though, TK, with Valanciunas scoring inside at will,
yeah.
But then Chet just countering it by stretching the floor and banging home three after three after three there.
Yes.
It was fun to watch the big guys do it in different ways there.
Yeah, old school NBA versus
first 11? Is that right?
11, yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Because Chet outscored him in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Chet completely outplayed him. And that's the problem for the Pelicans. Their most reliable offense right now is Valanciunas. He's the only guy who can really get his shot because, like you're saying, Dort is all over Brandon Ingram, picking him up full court. There are times when they set like an off-ball screen for Ingram. He screams around, catches it at the free throw line. There's nobody near him, takes the shot. They got to do more with that. But then who's handling the ball? CJ McCollum? Oof.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of CJ McCollum in this series so far, but it looked like no nerves for the Thunder. This felt like a regular season game. They were playing free and easy, forced 18 turnovers, turned that into 22 points, and somehow forced 8 offensive fouls.
Yes.
On the Pelicans. I mean, part of it is that, like, Valanciunas is just shoulder mode the entire time. When you got Dort on you, you're trying to get him off. Brandon Ingram has it tough out there as well. But New Orleans looked totally rattled. They missed their opportunity in game one, yep, to steal one, so they got to hope for something a little bit better in game two, or game three, back home.
Yeah, it was wild seeing the beginning of this game with, it was like old school NBA versus new school NBA,
yeah,
with Chet lighting it up from three while Valanciunas was just going in the post every single time. And I expected the Pelicans to respond a little bit after that, considering they got the first 11 points from their center. But it is unfortunate that Brandon Ingram isn't himself, and I just expected more moving screens, really, to get him open, to lay Dort out or move Dort around. But Dort was fighting as much as he possibly could to get around those screens, and he was doing a good job of getting to Brandon Ingram. While the Thunder in general just did a better job talking about big men rebounding the ball, one thing that they have as an issue is their defensive rebounding. It is a bit of an issue. Chet is their five, and obviously there's, you know, with Gidd and Jalen Williams, you know, they're 3-4. Giddy, I call them Gidd. Giddy, you know, and Jalen Williams and Lou Dort as their 2-3-4. They're undersized. Mm-hmm. So they allowed 18 offensive rebounds in game one, and that dropped to 8 in game two because they are long, lean guys because they have all five players that can shoot, and that opens up the lane for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is what they want. But they fought in game two for those defensive boards, and that helped a lot.
All five Thunder starters scored in double-digit figures. They shot nearly 60% from the field as a team, 48% from deep. Yeah, everybody was feeling good. And after a rough game one start, Chet Holmgren has 38 points, 13 boards, 5 blocks in his last 7 quarters, 14 of 20 from the floor, 4 of 8 from deep. And he had a lot of those early on in that game where, yeah, JV was putting his skinny ass in the basket, but Chet was like, it's all right, I'm going to get 3 back on the other end. Just stepping into it. And like you said, that's sort of, as much as JV was scoring, it was like, ooh, that's their best option. Also, he's going to tire. I've seen this JV story before. He's a big, you know, big dude. He's not going to be able to do this for 40 minutes. And then Chet's just like, just splashing wide open threes, because that's a very difficult matchup on the other end for JV. And then Larry Nance got injured in this game as well, with an ankle injury. We'll see if, you know, how severe that is for game three. It's not like he was lighting it up either in this one. But I wonder if Willie Green needs to get sort of maybe more Jose Alvarado as like just a point guard. You said it, CJ, as the ball handler, though. There's just without Ingram being able to contribute or to sort of drive and set up guys. I know you rolled your eyes at Jose Alvarado, but it ain't CJ. It ain't CJ McCollum, yeah, though. I just want somebody to set guy, like, go by somebody. But yeah, maybe there is no answer without point Zion not there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, obviously, that Brandon Ingram isn't 100% of himself, because 100% of himself is an all-star. He has been good, but in this game, only shooting 10 times.
He had two shots in the first half, I think.
Yeah, 10 overall, it ain't going to do it. And that's why the Kings, to me, in the play-in tournament, look like a better option to give the Thunder a bit of a push, a bit of a challenge, because Ingram has been hurt and hasn't been himself. He needs to shoot more. That's obviously key, and McCollum wasn't that help in this one. That was a big problem.
Hold on. I'm getting a call.
Did we hit a million?
Lou? That's Lou Dort. Hey, Lou. Great game last night.
The Dort's open.
I'll call you back.
Come on in.
Apologies for that.
Yeah, no problem.
I think it's Backyard Care Company showing up. Taking care of the mosquitoes, I guess. I don't
know. It does think that we're just not getting a good 1-8 here. We're not getting a good 1-8.
One of them's 1-1.
No, here. Oh. Yeah, just here. I just mean in this one. The other one, yes. Yeah. The other one is fantastic.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I just mean in this one. That's why the Kings would have been better, because they just have their better players are playing well and healthy.
We have a Gordon Hayward cardio update from John Hollinger. 15 minutes in this series. Zero field goal attempts.
Yep.
Zero free throw attempts.
Hey, I like the maneuver there by Dagnall to play him less.
Yeah, I know. It's just wild. He's played 15 minutes in this series and is, I think, have maybe a handful of rebounds, I think is what he's done.
Oh, hold on a second. He played 9 and 10 in this. He's played 19 minutes.
I believe Hollinger was tweeting during the game, I think is what happened.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what happens on Twitter, you know?
But he literally looks like a group of teenagers had 9 guys to play, so they had to get their dad to come and fill in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense that he's out there at all. Just jogging around, trying not to get hurt.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people even responding to Hollinger's tweet like, I didn't even know he was on the team. It's like, fair if you didn't know that.
They've got the youngest playoff team other than Gordon Hayward. Everybody's young. He's not one of them. He's not like the rest of the guys who are extremely young and athletic. Aaron Wiggins needs to play more. He was great. Kayson Wallace was great. He didn't force shots in this one. He was just moving the ball. And just to say about this youthful team, how they responded to game one, which was lights too bright. We saw what the Cleveland Cavaliers did last year. They lost to the New York Knicks in that series because the lights were too bright. And in this one, they responded. So that's a great response for this team that is being questioned. Can this team advance because they're too young? Well, it's a great response.
Yeah, after game one, all I heard was Herb Jones is the SGA stopper. And that's not true because he kicked his ass last night. That was a good bounce back from an MVP finalist. A guy that if they are going to go far, he's going to have these monster games. The shots that he's hit, I love the reaction he gets out of Jamal Crawford and guys like that. Like they're going like, what? Wow, that's tough. just his ability to stop on a dime, create space and all that, and then to hit very difficult mid-range jumpers still in this game. He was awesome. Awesome. 33 sort of got overlooked there because a lot of talk about Chet. Everybody contributed well. Besides maybe Gordon Hayward, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. He's there for the vibes. He's there to take everybody out for pizza after.
Yeah, if they had 9 guys, they would have had to stop playing. Nobody wants that. Yeah.
Exactly. You got to have the subs. Anything else on this one? You think this is wrapped up fairly soon? Maybe the Pels grab one in New Orleans? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh, you're leaning more.
Yeah, we could sweep.
You get the brooms out.
Pelicans are a great road team. Mm-hmm. Not so amazing at home.
No.
They have a better road record. No, I think OKC feels good.
What would you lean here? Sweep or 5, I guess, is where we're getting at.
I would lean sweep, but certainly the Pelicans could hit 23s. It happens.
We've seen it every night. Happens every second night in this league. Yep. All right. Let's get into the up-down report.
Prepare your tubis. It's the up-down report.
Back to that Heat game, because after the Heat tied the series with that pretty impressive game 2 win, Jimmy Butler went on Instagram to troll his opponents, and he had the caption here with a fun Photoshop job: feeling cute, might delete later. He wrote that under a photo of a quote by Celtics guard Jaylen Brown last year, and then, psych, I ain't deleting shit. And yeah, it's got, I don't know, did Jimmy do the Photoshop? Did he get somebody to do it? But Jimmy's face on Jaylen Brown's body there, that is alluding to last year when Boston was down 0-3 to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Jaylen, you know, said, don't let us get one. And then it got interesting because they won three straight.
But they didn't do it.
And the Heat beat them on Game 7 in Boston. So the question is, for everybody joining us live, for all the podcast listeners, and most importantly for you two guys, thumbs up or thumbs down on Jimmy Butler trolling Jaylen Brown and the Celtics on IG?
I got to go hard sideways on this one.
Sideways?
Hard sideways.
Why? I thought you'd be...
He's
I
not
thought
playing.
You'd be
up. He's not playing. He's not playing. This okay. is a Ben Simmons post. It's like Ben Simmons holding a glass of wine while he's watching the game on TV.
Okay.
But I did laugh. I did okay, think it was
so
funny.
That gets you half.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. I, too, am both up and down. I'm up because I like the trash talk. I enjoy it. Although I'm down, I don't like seeing Jimmy Butler on a Celtics jersey. He's wearing a Celtics jersey. Kind of strange. He's got a beard there. It's a bad Photoshop. Is that? Aww. That's not Jimmy Butler's beard. That's not his beard. Also, I mean, I do.
It does look hilarious.
It does look funny. Yeah. Although I do kind of like the caption. Feeling cute, might delete later.
All right, JD?
Yeah, we got some.
No, I was going to put it back up. But,
it came up there at the end.
I saw like five things. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, it came up at the end after you recovered. Yeah. Anyways, the feeling cute, might delete later. Psych, I ain't dealing shit. For old people, the word psych works. Young people don't use that anymore. I would go, skirt! Feeling cute, might delete later. Skirt! I ain't deleting that. That's what I would do, personally, if I was writing Jimmy Butler's captions. But, I like it. But as
look, it's on brand. Yeah. This is perfectly on brand for Jimmy Butler. Playing or not playing, he's going to have some fun on social media. And, I liked it. I thought the Photoshop was fine. I want to know if he did it.
Yeah.
And, I do like him censoring himself for some weird reason. S blank blank blank. Okay, that was actually in the caption. That wasn't us doing it. And I mean, he's feeling good about his team here. They're in their heads. Whether for whatever reason they have the Celtics number, so to speak, and he's just trying to pile on here. But it's funny he's not playing. But maybe he will. Maybe he'll come back.
But this is some flight material that they could talk about. The Celtics could talk about. Do you see what Jimmy Butler put up? They shouldn't need it, obviously. Yeah. But he's kind of poking the Celtics with something that they weren't even able to accomplish, which is kind of strange. You know? Okay. Anyway, looking forward to
game 3.
All right,
well, thumbs up or thumbs down. I feel like I thought we'd see them some thumbs up, but we got some sideways. That's fine. Next one, Timberwolves big man Naz Reid is the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. Naz Reid is the first player to win the bench award for the Wolves. He's also the third player to earn the honor after not being selected in the draft, joining John Starks and Daryl Armstrong. Hold on, let me have a sip of coffee for Daryl Armstrong. In his fifth season, Reed set career highs in points and rebounds per game, hit a bunch of three, shot 41% from deep. So he eked out, Malik Monk, who finished a close second in the voting, and Bobby Portis, who finished third, but very close here. Between Naz Reid and Malik Monk, damn near identical in the first, second, and third place votes. I mean, if one person changes their first place vote to Malik Monk,
it's a tie.
It's a tie. That would have been interesting. It would have been like Survivor. We'd have to do a revote.
One on one.
Yeah, sure. Oh, damn, that'd be tough for Monk right now.
Yeah, I'm taking Naz in that
injured
one.
But
Malik Monk wasn't on two ballots then, is what it comes down to, though, because he had a 43-39-10, while.
Yeah.
Naz Reid had 45-39-10.
Yeah. That's weird.
Who did you vote for?
So are you thumbs up or thumbs down on Naz Reid ultimately eking out Malik Monk for Sixth Man of the Year? Okay.
I think he absolutely deserved it, but I do think it's pretty funny that he started 15 of Minnesota's last 18 games, and that's pretty much what won him Sixth Man of the Year. Because that's when Monk went out of the lineup.
Yeah.
But he still is way under. He did average 17 a game as a starter, 46 from the field, 42 from three, but he was also awesome off the bench, 48 from the field, 41 from three, and was the namesake of the best arena giveaway we've seen in the 2020s, the Naz Reid towel.
I think the PR worked helped Naz Reid in this. He's a cool guy.
He's cool.
Great towel. He's well deserving. Malik Monk has an awesome case too. Just brutal timing with him missing the last 9 games of the year. There was some I think it's what tipped it in Naz Reid's favor, him winning in a very close vote. the fact that Monk was out for the final nine, and that Naz Reid then got a little more minutes getting the starter's role with Cat out helped the numbers a little bit, and I just think that pushed him over the edge here. I can't, like, I think Malik Monk was a very deserving six-man of the year winner too, but I'm not going to be upset because Naz was awesome on one of the best teams in the West.
He was awesome off the bench. It was awesome to see him start some games as well because he's just freaking good in every situation. He deserves it, obviously, where he's come from 4 years after being undrafted, being the, or getting the minimum in payment until he signed this contract. He's great. Yeah, I think it was that he played a decent amount more games and Monk being injured that tipped it over the scale. But I wonder who those two voters were that didn't even have Monk on there.
That's strange.
Who did they vote for? There's always some strange votes.
It's not strange to vote for Naz Reid or even Bobby Portis, but to not have Monk in the top three.
Yeah.
I don't get that. He led the league in bench points, Monk did. He led the league in bench assists. He was first in clutch points by a bench player because he finished a ton of games and was like vital to their success. He's the first player since Lou Williams with 1,000 points and 350 assists off the bench in a season. He had 25 games of 20-plus points off the bench, which led the NBA. I mean, he was very important, as we saw at the end of the year, when they lose him to the injury and don't even get into the playoffs. But Naz Reid joining the fairly rare list of big men to win the award, at least over the last 20 years.
Montrezl Harrell.
We had Montrezl Harrell. We had Lamar Odom. And we had Antoine Jameson as the only big men over the last, I believe, 20 years to win sixth man. It used to happen a lot more back in the day. But
Naz McHale.
What's that?
Kevin McHale.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got a bunch of them.
Yeah,
Naz is the biggest out of those guys you named. I mean, he's the only like center, I would say. And he shoots 41% from three this year. That was a big jump. Just balling.
Yeah, good win there from Naz Reid. Very close vote. The closest we've ever had when it comes to this award.
My last two notes on this one are that somebody accidentally voted for Bojan Bogdanović instead of Bogdan Bogdanović.
Yep.
There's no reason that Bojan would have gotten a vote, but he finished last in the voting because he got one third placer. So shout out to whoever that is, misclicking the B Bogdanović. And also, I think I'm going to start saying sixth. Like, that's like, I feel like the international pronunciation when you hear it on Formula One. That's what Croft and Brundle always say, sixth. It's easier to say than sixth.
Sixth.
Yeah, too many consonants there at the end. Sixth. Sixth.
Sixth.
Malik Monk wasn't happy he didn't win this award last season.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear what he thinks about not winning it again. In a year, again, he had an awesome year off the bench. But Naz just eclipses him. Let's find those two people that didn't vote for Monk, though. What's going on there? What's going on?
That is strange.
That's weird.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back.
We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, next one here in the Up-Down Report. When asked if there was a chance he could return this postseason, Zion Williamson told reporters, quote, "That is definitely realistic. That is absolutely realistic. But like I said, I got to pass the tests and get back to baseline, and hopefully I'll be out there." So last Wednesday, it was announced an MRI confirmed Zion had that left hamstring strain, and he would be reexamined in 2 weeks. Are you up or down on the chances of Zion returning this playoffs? I guess you're down because you just said you think the Thunder might sweep, but...
Well, yeah, I do think just timeline-wise, it's unlikely that he comes back. I am excited, positive that Zion is taking it so positively. He is trying to get back, and that's what it's about with Zion. You called it, you know, his best year because he did play a freaking lot of games this season. He played in 70 games this season. So just as a basketball fan, I'm all excited for the whole package, that it looks like he just wants to get back on the court. Also that it wasn't a major injury like last year.
He said it was different than last year where he felt a sharp pain going down his right leg, and this wasn't the case this time around. He knew something was off and that he was re-injured, but not as severe, it's sounding like.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is...
Last year was bad.
Yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down on seeing Zion here in 2024 playoffs.
I'm going like a three-quarters down, okay. I would say, mostly because the Pelicans are down 0-2. They said he would be reevaluated after 2 weeks. It's been 1 week.
Yep.
2 weeks would be game five in Oklahoma City. So they got to steal one at home where they're actually worse, and then maybe you bring him back for that game five. But that's a huge ask. Come back and save us in this series, Zion. But he probably wants to play in the playoffs. So if he's healthy at all for that game five, if there is a game five, do it.
Yeah. He literally has never played in the playoffs yet. But I think he does have the right mentality, because I did like this quote saying, I was demoralized, but I took a day or two to get past that, and now I'm back on what I've been saying all year, stacking my days and getting back on the court. Stacking his days, because it feels like this is the most focused Zion we've seen in the NBA. It sure feels that way. And just hopefully he doesn't get healthy and he can continue to play 70 games a season. That's a lot.
Final one. New Brooklyn Nets coach Jordy Fernandez wasted no time making his feelings known about the roster, and specifically the status of unrestricted free agent center Nick Claxton, who Fernandez said was a priority to retain in free agency. Quote, "I believe he'll be defensive player of the year. For us, he's a priority in this summer and the way that we can play through him." Are you up or down here on the Nets? Because it wasn't just Jordy Fernandez. Sean Marks sort of echoed Fernandez's comments of keeping Nick Claxton being a priority to sign this guy. Thumbs up or thumbs down? We'll start with you, Trey.
Yeah, I'll go up because... I mean, Nick Claxton should be a priority for this team because they have nobody else that's coming available. You know, like, they already got Bridges signed up. They've got Cam Johnson signed up. I guess if you're looking at players who don't have contracts who could maybe even come back, Lonnie Walker is their other free agent. Dennis Smith, like, yes, Nick Claxton is your priority. Mm-hmm. The problem for them is that he's an unrestricted free agent because he was a second-round draft pick, first pick of the second round, but... That makes me think maybe if there's a team who's been eyeing him, you know, from his time playing with Kevin Durant when he was actually talked about as a defensive player of the year candidate, that guy gets traded away. We never talk about Nick Claxton, but he's still playing. He's still a good player. He's young. So potentially somebody else could say, we're going to pay him way, way more than the Nets really want to. And then it becomes tough for Brooklyn if they want to play. Like, are they going to want to pay 90% of their cap to Bridges, Claxton, Cam Johnson, and Cam Thomas? That's a play-in team. Maybe. I don't know. They have to sign him, but also it ain't changing much for the Nets, I don't think.
Yeah, they lack matching rights with Claxton, but they have his bird rights so the team can exceed the salary cap to resign him. So there is that because of this weird thing that he was the second round guy. What do you think here? Thumbs up or thumbs down on this?
Thumbs up, yeah. I am interested to see how both his next coach and his GM said, I think he should be defensive player of the year, and how much they're going to pay the guy that they think could be defensive player of the year, because he was under $10 million. It wasn't an incredible season for Nick Claxton, but they want him to be a big part of it. And I like that it's about the summer. That's what Jordy Fernandez said. Go be great now. Go improve now. Mm-hmm. Because that's when guys in the NBA always improve. And you can see guys get better who are especially young in this league. He said, you know, we will see results right away, Jordy Fernandez, about Nick Claxton. So it is a big summer for Nick Claxton. And I think they should overpay somewhat. I mean, I don't think he's earned anywhere near a max contract.
No.
I think an overpay is totally fine for a guy like Nick Claxton that another team would be willing to try and take a chance on because he could be an incredible player.
He just turned 25 years old. He's been in the league longer than I sort of thought.
Yeah.
This is like 5 years in here, which is fine. But he had a good year, 12-10. He basically averaged 2 blocks, shot 62%. I mean, last year he shot like 70%. You know, he's working around the rim. He knows what he's good at. But yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm thumbs up on this. I think this is like, it's a nice boost of confidence for a new coach to come into and for him to say, yeah, we think he could be, you know, a defensive player of the year. That might be a reach. I mean, you're in a league with Wemby. I think he's going to win the next 10. But set that tone and talk him up a little bit. Get the confidence. And you know, hopefully that translates into something next year. Jordy said a lot of cool things about him. I thought he's like, he's great in the pick and roll. He's quick to the rim. He puts pressure on the rim, but he also has the ability to play the dribble handoff game, which, as you guys know, lately in the NBA, that style is very efficient. We just watched it last night with some dribble handoffs from the Heat there to unlock some three-pointers there. So yeah, makes sense that they try and get Nick Claxton signed to some sort of deal. But they got a lot of money on the books for 24-25 and for a team that's, playing.
Don't forget about
me. I mean, they had Nick Claxton this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
12-10. He seems like a 12-10 guy to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Maybe he can do dribble handoff stuff, but okay, you're running your offense through Nick Claxton. You're in the same spot.
Yeah.
The Ben watch is very important.
Oh, boy.
I think he's going to be healthy for training camp.
You're starting early.
Oh, no, yeah, not for playing. I mean, for moving on.
Oh.
I mean, he's literally.
Can I cut him?
Oh, they're talking
they
it
said
up.
They're not,
yeah.
But I think it would make sense.
Yeah.
You just wait until that shirt's off. You see that body hitting some three-pointers in a sort of smaller gym than you're used to seeing. You're going to convince yourself. You'll be on the island. You'll be with me. We'll be ready to go.
Listen, I love being optimistic about NBA players for way too long. Way longer than I should be. But it's
even you've given up?
It's done.
Oh, how dare you.
It's been
this is what Ben wants. He wants you to all not believe it.
No, I want to believe in his back massages that he should be going to get. He's got back problems the last 2 years. He should be dealing with that. It's very difficult for him to play 40 games, so I can't buy into it. That I had high expectations of this Nets team coming into the season. They obviously came in.
Well, they were 15-15, and then they sat everybody for some weird reason, pulled their other guys that played the first quarter, and then it sort of went downhill from there.
15-15?
Yeah. They were solid. They were decent. I mean, it's not lighting up the league by any means, but maybe you're a play-in team. You would be a play-in team with that record, but...
Yeah, they were 15-15.
They leaned
things
into,
changed.
To being crap, coach gone. Jordy Fernandez gets a chance,
yeah.
And he still gets to coach Team Canada, which we're excited to see. All right, before we go, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, I told you two things. One, it was very random. And two, you may want to check it out on YouTube if you're just a podcast listener, because there's a fun little video that goes with this tweet. It's from Kaylee Chung, who tweeted last night, "The drip on @BlackDragonRoll is out of control." And we are showing you a video of Jerome dressed as a pizza creamy garlic dipping sauce mascot. Mm-hmm. And he is dancing away. It appears to be some sort of backstage, probably at the Leafs sort of tailgate last night, is my guess. I have a lot of questions, but there were some fun responses to this. Somebody wrote, "Having no context to this and just seeing it is a privilege." Somebody else said, "You didn't have to go that hard, Jerome." Somebody said, "Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I got here." And someone else, my favorite response, "Give Jerome the Order of Canada." So there he is. It's better and better with each
really
watch.
Funny. Why did they make this? Why did they make a garlic sauce container mascot?
I thought about reaching out to Jerome this morning to get, again, the context and what was going on here. But I was like, you know what? I don't want to know. It is funnier. No. It's funnier just seeing our guy Jerome in a mascot of a giant dipping sauce.
I just noticed this sixth roll here, sixth loop of watching it, that the package for the cream of garlic is right on the floor right there. He just kicked it off.
Oh, wow.
It's the package.
It's got to be.
Yeah, probably.
It's amazing. Pizza.
Now, I don't think he went... I never saw footage or a photo of him on stage. Like, they didn't look like they didn't push him out there.
Where are they?
I think it's at Jurassic Park, or whatever they call the version of the Leafs. That's where I think that is.
Yeah.
They played last night.
Yes.
I believe they lost.
I wish Ilya Samsonov, the goalie for the Leafs, was wearing that creamy garlic, because he would have stopped that shot that went between his blocker and his pad.
Right.
Oh, easily. That was a weird goal. But yeah, it looks like Jurassic Park turned... What do they call that?
Bud Nation or something? I don't know. What are they?
No, that sucks.
I don't know.
Bud Nation.
Because it's sponsored by Bud.
No.
Oh yeah.
Well, sponsored by Pizza Pizza.
Okay, I like that.
Is Pizza Pizza dying? What's happening?
Why do you say that?
Well, it looks like they're just trying.
Dying? I think they're flourishing.
They never looked
Jesus
better.
Jesus Christ.
Well, number one, what about the pizza? It's not that good. Number two.
The pizza's never been that good.
I know.
It's the dipping sauce is what saves the pizza.
Well, I think they're promoting it.
It's 100%.
Yeah, you're right. I think they're pushing sales.
Eat this thing. They have a really good, like, sweet and spicy one. I don't like the creamy garlic, but the pizza's horrible. It's like,
I know.
You know, it's cardboard.
Yeah, I know.
But you slather it on that sauce. Yeah. And it's not bad.
I guess people aren't having enough sauces or something. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
They're pushing the sauces. They've realized nobody likes our pizza. So we got to push the sauces. Hey, good pivot.
Hey, why not? Who doesn't love to dip their crust in a little bit of ranch? Am I right?
Hell yeah.
Oh, it's just called Maple Leaf Square. That's what it's always been.
And that's what the whole thing is called. Thing. But what's the nickname?
Yeah, but it makes sense.
Oh, because they're called the Leafs. Yeah.
They are called the Maple Leafs.
But we could do better. What would you call it? JD, you got anything?
Oh, I like Bud Square. Or Bud Park. The Bud Zone. Park.
Bud Zone.
The Bud Zone.
Yeah, but that's just like free publicity for Budweiser.
Well, and weed, I guess. Right?
Style. Yeah. Yeah, what about, that's what, the park.
The forest.
Okay, yeah. The forest is good. Full of leaves.
The syrup spot.
I mean, Jurassic Park was a park.
You're right.
I don't know if they had maple leaf trees.
Forest. I like forest.
Arboretum.
Ooh, good.
That's
park.
Good.
Trees
good
at
pull.
An arboretum.
Yeah. Mm.
Good pull.
Arboretum.
Yeah, I like it. Forest Hill is a neighborhood.
Oh, that's a neighborhood. That's where Drake grew up, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Now you got Drake in. Forest Hill, Drake's going to come. Because Drake was big in the Jurassic Park era.
Yeah.
He loved it. But I don't know if he likes that.
But Bieber is the hockey guy, I think.
Right.
He's a big Leafs fan.
He loves Timbits.
Big Leafs fan.
He loves Timbits.
Tim Biebs, what they were called.
Thank you to Kaylee for that tweet. Thank you to Jerome for putting on that mascot. Thanks to Pizza Pizza for creating that mascot. It's a great looking mascot. I love it. All right, tonight's games. We got Cavs Magic. Game 3, Cavs up 2-0. We got Knicks 76ers. Knicks up 2-0. And we got Nuggets Lakers. Nuggets up 2-0. Which of those three games do you like the home team to, you know, get one here? To, like, let's be honest, to get a must-win game for those three teams that are now going home and all trailing 2-0. Whose chances do you like the most?
I would say Philadelphia has the best chance because New York has been shooting the lights out of the ball, playing in Madison Square Garden while not getting really good performances from Jalen Brunson. So if you're Philadelphia, you have to be thinking, we're playing in our home barn. We're going to keep Jalen Brunson shut down, and we're actually going to guard the three-point line, and our three-point guys are going to hit some shots. Now, the problem is that three guys on the New York Knicks won titles in that very arena.
Ooh.
So it's the closest thing to a home game for them that isn't a home game.
Good point.
But I think Philadelphia has the best chance tonight.
Okay, you're talking about the Villanova Knicks there in Philly. That's a great point. Okay, but he likes the Knicks. Oh, excuse me, Philly. Who do you like? Or none of them.
I'm going with the Lakers. I know it sounds a little nuts.
Is it time?
I don't mind it.
Is it time?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get swept again by the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
And you have to remember last year's playoffs. The Nuggets only swept the Lakers in their four series. That was the only one. And so they're bound to give up a game-ish. I mean, we've seen the comments between Anthony Davis saying, we got to learn some stuff. We don't know how to do things. And Darvin Ham saying, what do you mean? We know how to do things.
I'm paraphrasing. What do you mean I'm the guy in charge of doing things?
We know how to do things.
We know how to do things. Yeah, I changed the quote there just because that's how it came through in my brain. Yeah, it was basically that. I think the Lakers, in a good way, will come out and fight in this one. So I want all three to be serious.
I was just going to say that. I'm making another prediction tonight. I'm saying all three home teams get that vital, that pivotal, that important Game 3 win to at least make these series a little more interesting. I'm even taking the Magic, who can't score at all. That's right. I'm going Magic, I'm going Sixers, and I'm going Lakers to get a win here tonight in Game 3. To set up a... look, we got to hope for this, if we're being honest. Because otherwise, we're going to go into the weekend. Sure. We're going to go into the weekend with a lot of 3-0 series, that's right? Possible. And then you're like, well, it's over. If it doesn't end the weekend, then it's over when we get back in Game 5. It's almost worse that way. Because it's like you're just delaying the inevitable. So
sometimes
I'm talking it into existence. I think, like you guys, I like the Sixers and the Lakers, and I'm going to go with the Magic as well. But we will find out.
I like the Knicks.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, later today, we like Survivor and we talk about it. No Buffs has its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. We're up to episode 9. Running out of episodes this season, but join us at 1 p.m. Eastern to break down last night's very interesting tribal council. So we will see you then, and can't wait to talk about that with TK and JD. But otherwise, we're back here in the Classic Factory tomorrow morning. It's Friday. It'll be the Drop Podcast. We'll talk about the games tonight, maybe do some big picture playoff stuff, maybe worst of the week. Mm-hmm. Rapid fire, always a blast of the Drop. So we'll see you at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, we hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I got to ask a question. For No Buffs, do you have to take it off the wall? Because you don't have 100,000 subs.
Wow, we're almost at 5,000.
We'll put a little slash.
Yeah.
Divided
we'll
by.
We'll cover up the 100K and just put.
Divided by 20.
Yeah, we'll write it on Sharpie. Brace today, people.